Going to come a little closer. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Loving Lord Jesus Christ, help us to set aside and leave behind the old self that was crucified with you and walk with you in newness of life. Help us to see our lives with spiritual eyes and eternity in perspective, so we lay down self-will and pick up the cross, setting aside everything to follow you, willing to acknowledge you before others, and lay our life down for you, for your sake, to have that real life that only you can give. I pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. Preparing for sermons each week can sometimes be a challenge. And you've seen the cartoons about writer's block, and you just sit in front and you go, then you get up and you come back. Well, I was doing that last night. I didn't know. Well, so as I was sitting there, okay, Lord, how do I begin? I'm just sitting there. All of a sudden, my little dancer comes up next to me, grabs my arm and says, I love you, gives me a kiss. And then just, I turn and watch her, and she goes dancing down the hallway. I mean, she's the dancer, I'm not. But she goes dancing down the hallway. And so the Lord provided the way to begin. As I was pondering love, that real love, that self-giving love, my little dancer gave an example of it. A hug and I love you and a kiss on the shoulder. She simply wanted to show her love for me. Not expecting anything in return, just showing love because she loves her daddy. You know, that's what Christian faith looks like. When we live it out as God intends it, living a life so full of love for the Father and for the Son and for the Holy Spirit, you live differently than others around you. You live life that shows you love God. These verses from Romans chapter 6 and Matthew chapter 10 are really packed, full of clarity of life before Christ and the life after being redeemed by Christ. Romans writes about the old self, a slave to sin, living life with eyes set on earthly things, with the angle of, well, what's in it for me? I'll scratch your back if you scratch my back, but you scratch my back first. I may think about scratching your back afterwards, and I want your fancy shoes. I want your car. I want your TV. I want your jewelry. So I just take it. I steal it. No care that it's not mine. It's yours. I don't care about you. No care about the harm that's done to you, the hurt that's done to others. It's selfishness reigns in my heart, and I live life all about myself. Using words to get what I want. Lying for personal gain. Such as saying, I love you. Saying, I love you. You know it's a lie, but I say it because I want to get something from you. I want to get that from you. I want it from that girl. Or I want it from that boy. There's no love there. It's a lie. I love you is being used as a lie to use the other person for your own selfish gain and gratification to gain trophies, so to speak. Such as you were. That's past tense. Such as you were, for in Christ Jesus, the old self is crucified. The old self has died with Christ. Romans 6, verse 6, for we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. In Christ, a deep transformation takes place in the very deepest part of who you are. Your innermost being, your identity is forever altered. That old selfish me, myself, and I has died with Christ. and there's a new self, a new life. Life in Christ, born of love, born to eternal life in the Lord. No longer living to satisfy selfish desires of the flesh, but living now to be generous and serve the Lord Jesus Christ with all you have, with all that you are. Lives of missionaries are really a simple Christian living out this Christian life. They're not unique. They're simply living the Christian life that you and I are called to live. That's how all Christians are supposed to live. Living life with eyes set on the Lord, sharing the Lord and generosity, sharing the self so another may come to know Jesus and be redeemed by that precious blood of Christ. I shared in the past, I'll again share that Olympic champion, Eric Liddell. I mean, he had the world at his feet after winning that astonishing gold medal. The 100 meter was his best event, but he refused to run the 100 because there is preliminary heats on a Sunday. And for Eric Liddell and his family, Sunday was the Lord's Sabbath. So he switched to the 400. Now, I don't know track very well, but if you prep for the 100 and switch into the 400, you know that's not a good idea. It's just, whoa, it's four times the distance. But that's what he did. Nobody expected him to win, but he did. He won Olympic gold in an event, that a distance that no one expected Eric to win. And this was Eric's own words to his plan and his secret. The secret of my success over the 400 meters is that I run the first 200 meters as fast as I can. Then for the second 200 meters, with God's help, I run faster. He basically sprinted the 400. And he set a new Olympic record. Gold medal, new record. No one expected it to happen. Eric Liddell could write his own ticket for the rest of his life. Fame, fortune could be his. But his Christian faith and his love for China took him back to the mission field that his parents had served for many years and when he was born. World War II came. British citizens were told to leave as the Japanese army invaded China. Eric sent his wife and children back to England, but he chose to stay. As the advancing army, Japanese army, drew ever closer, they retreated farther. But eventually he was interned in a Japanese camp. And he would die of a brain tumor in that camp before being liberated. Two fellow prisoners shared their experience of Eric Liddell. Norman Cliff said, "The finest Christian gentleman it had been my pleasure to meet in all that time in the camp. I never heard him say a bad word about anybody." Stephen Metcalf said this, "He gave me two things. One was his worn-out running shoes, but the best thing he gave me was his baton of forgiveness. He taught me to love my enemies, the Japanese, and to pray for them." After the war concluded, it was eventually discovered that Eric Liddell turned down the opportunity to leave the prison camp in a prisoner exchange. He turned down that opportunity to return to his wife and his children. Instead, a pregnant woman, he said, "Take my place." So a woman and her child could have freedom in life. Teen servants, this week you have the opportunity to live out this Christian faith during day camp. And do with your life something that really counts, far more than other things. Have a blast. Have fun. Enjoy the week to the fullest. And this will happen when you focus on the child before you, making Jesus real. Make Jesus real to them. Make Jesus as real as possible to that child. It will be challenging. It will be challenging sometimes. But I tell you, you will have the best time of your life by being generous and giving yourself away, focusing on meeting the spiritual need of that child before you, and be an instrument of righteousness for the Lord, showing a child compassion, that genuine compassion that comes from the Lord and care. I share with you, a summer I worked at Lutheran Memorial Camp. And I was in the support role of maintenance because, you know, I could play with the chainsaw and the old Massey Ferguson tractor and mowing grass, all the cool tools I had access to. But I didn't have a regular cabin group, so I would sit with different groups for mealtime. I'd see a counselor that could use some help with their cabin and usually join up with the cabin. It was the youngest age group mostly that needed the extra hand, for the counselor was just going, "Oh, I got 8 kindergartners." That's fun to eat breakfast with 8 kindergartners that are half asleep. But I noticed this one week, there was a cabin group with a special needs camper. And I can close my eyes and see the different things. But she just needed extra attention, that extra individual attention. I noticed what happened the first Sunday night, and I made my plan for the week. I'd be with that cabin group and sit by that special needs camper each meal to help the counselor and the cabin group. This girl, I mean, she was so precious. Though she took constant attention, she was precious. She liked to reach for things. Anything that was in her reach, it soon came like this and was like this or like this or like this. She just liked to reach for things. Oh, she's just a precious, precious little girl. And so each meal I'd sit there and just make sure everything was just slightly out of reach until she really needed it, to put like syrup on her plate or something and helped her through it. Midway through the week, she would make sure I was sitting next to her. And so much so, she got used to me being there. Come Friday night for the picnic after the closing program, I was there sitting with her and her family. She said, "That's what you can do this week. You can make a change in a person's life. Christian faith lived out, living life so another will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Redeemer, Savior, Lord. Another heart eternally changed by God's grace through your witness, through your testimony, through the way you live life." And I really want you to understand, your witness, your testimony, the way you live life, it's one and the same thing. There is no difference. The way you live your life is your witness. The way you live your life is your testimony. Your priorities for your time and priorities for your financial resources, they are your witness and your testimony. Reading Matthew 10, it's filled with so much from our Lord Jesus. Each verse could easily become a sermon in itself. As a student, strive to become like the teacher. As they say bad things about the teacher, Jesus, they will say bad things about you. As I recently read in the news, several graduating students were told not to speak about their Christian faith in their speeches. But each one found a way to speak about their Lord Jesus. One 8th grade salutatorian speech was banned for thanking God and his church. So when the time came for the valedictorian and the salutatorians to give their speeches, they invited everyone to join them across the street at a friend's home. And from the front porch, they gave their speeches. And this 8th grader testified to his faith with great courage. You can find it on YouTube, by the way. "Don't be afraid. Share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Speak it boldly, loudly. They can't take eternal life from you. The Father knows the numbers on your head. He can count higher for some people and lower for others, but he knows the hairs on your head. And you are worth so much more. So let people know you're a follower of Jesus Christ. Don't be shy about your Christian faith. Again, teen servants, live your faith out loud. At school this fall, tell your friends about your day camp experiences. Share what fun you had sharing Jesus and invite them to come to teen servants. Be a part of that powerful movement of changing your friends' lives eternally with the grace and redeeming power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some friends may no longer be your friends if you do that. I'm sorry, but it will happen. But other friends may become more precious friends as you share Jesus with them. The important thing is this, Matthew chapter 10, verses 32, 33. Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge before my Father. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. And then Jesus shared these more words. He came to bring a sword, not peace. Jesus said you are to love him more than your mother, more than your father, more than a son, more than a daughter. If you love any of them more than Jesus, Jesus says, you're not worthy of me. And then he goes on to say, if you don't take up your cross and follow, you're not worthy of me. If you find your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life for Jesus' sake, you will find it. All these words are pointing in the same direction. Becoming a follower of Jesus Christ. Becoming a Christian and living the Christian faith out loud will change the way people view you and treat you. Your relationship with Jesus is to come before all things. And that will bring a sword because some relationships will be broken. John MacArthur shares the story of a woman who grew up in a totally pagan family. She's now a Christian. Her father will not speak to her. He'll have nothing to do with her. Her Christian faith is filled with so much joy, but her father will not talk to her. Jesus set the terms of our relationship with him. He is to be the first. That is the terms of discipleship and following him. Remember Peter, Andrew, James, and John? They left their boats. They left their father. They left everything. That is the same for us. That same truth is for us today. We are not at liberty to lessen these expectations. These truths are from the Lord Jesus Christ. These are His words. We have no right to change them, nor any right to outright dismiss them. Take up your cross. Will you live for yourself? Or will you live for Jesus Christ? Those who heard these words of Jesus would have very vivid images etched in their minds. They had seen men pick up their cross and carry it to their death on the very same cross they carried. When you saw a man carrying a cross with a Roman guard walking along, you knew that man would not come back. It was the end of him. Take up your cross means the end of you. The end of your selfish me, myself, and I. That way of looking at life and living life. There is to be a complete renunciation of the self so that the new life in Christ Jesus is your life. The old self has died. The new self is given by the living God. Jesus Christ has not come to add something to your life, like picking up a hobby for fun. Or do you remember that? It's more like, remember that TV show, Extreme Home Makeover? They didn't simply go on and go, okay, the house is just like that, let's add on and remodel that. No, they came and went, whoom! The whole old house was torn completely down, gone entirely, so a new house could be built. Your old life must be completely gone, dead, as it says in Romans chapter 6, for the new life to be yours. Look at life with an eternal perspective. Live the now in Jesus Christ as his disciple. Completely devoted to him. Live like you actually do love Jesus more than anything else, more than family, more than friends, more than life itself. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to pay the price for sin, freely expressing the love of God for you by taking your place. Christian life, Christian faith, is your response to the love of God that God has for you and the mercy and grace shown to you. How you live daily matters. Not to earn the love of God, not to earn that love, but in response to His great love for you. So I ask you, are you going to live life in rejection of God's love by living selfishly with your mind on earthly things? Is that how you want to live life? Or do you want to live life acknowledging God is God and receive all of that grace and mercy and God's love for you? The love that redeemed you and paid all the penalty for your sin and gives you new life. That's living in response to God's love. You have eternity in mind, and you live as humble servants for others. That's the nutshell of Matthew chapter 10 and Romans chapter 6. It's living life in such a way people see you love the Lord Jesus Christ. Loving Jesus is shown through living your life. Beloved and redeemed of God, love Jesus with all of your life. Amen.